Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you live from our studios on Blog Talk Radio, bringing you waves of glory. We are delighted this morning to come to you in this capacity as an ambassador for the kingdom of God. We have a really wonderful conversation topic that we'd like to share with you this morning and give you an opportunity to either call us here in the studio at 646-668-2875, or you can simply tune in to our web link today. But I want you to know that God is listening, and he is looking down on the people of God today. His eyes are in every place, the Word of God says, roaming to and fro. His eyes are in every place, and they're beholding the good and the evil. And it's not just the evil that the enemy is doing, but he is also watching over his children to see if we would be in line with that which he has commissioned us to be in line with, to see if we are doing all that we are required to be doing as members of the body of Christ. Now, our topic this morning is going to be religion. And if you have seen our promo, it says, you might be religious if, and then it's the ellipsis after it, praise the Lord, and that's all we have to do is kind of come to a point of thinking. Come to a point of thinking. You might be a religious person if, and it's a very big word, even if it's only two letters, you might be a religious person if. And then we're going to go from there into the Word of God and see what happens. I know that religion is required of us by God, but not many Christians really know what religion is. Many of us stick out our chest and boldly declare, we don't have a religion, we have a relationship. And that's only partly right. If we don't have religion, not fulfilling kingdom mandates. But the point is, we need to come into an understanding of exactly what religion is. When we are religious, it does not take away anything from our relationship with God if we understand exactly what religion is. Let's talk about why we need religion and how we are missing the mark if we don't have it. I was once one of those who proudly proclaimed, I am not religious, while I clung to the cross and all that Jesus had done for me. But now I'm glad to say there is a place for religion in my relationship with the King. So if you will, grab your cup of Starbucks in a red cup coffee today, latte, mocha, whatever it is that you're drinking. We're going to just get into the Word of God and see what does the Word of God say concerning religion. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a good one today. I hope you're ready. Amen. We're going into 1 James chapter 1. 1 James chapter 1, and we know that James was an apostle that put the Word of God right down where the rubber meets the road. I mean, he didn't care for your feelings or whether or not you liked what he had to say, but he was just kind of raw with the truth, and that's what we need in our society today. I'm not talking about our world society. I'm talking about our church society. We need raw truth. We need the Word of God to come back into the body of Christ and get us in line with what God is expecting of his people. Looking in the book of James chapter 1, we are going to begin at verse 25, though in your study I would suggest that you begin at verse 1. For time's sake today, we're going to begin with verse 25. And it reads, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want you to keep contact with that word work and the word deed. Verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Oh, come on. And then one more verse. We're looking at verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So that's verses 25 through 27. Let's just take a moment here and break this down. The Apostle James, remember, is talking to a group of people who are steeped in religion. We're talking about a people who have been trained by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We're talking about a people who have for hundreds of years have followed religious rituals and traditions, and now they are come into the body of Christ, and he has got to shift their mindset from the things that they used to do just out of ritual and get them into relationship. And so here he is talking to them saying, so you think you are religious? Well, if you think you are religious, then you have to become a doer of the word and not just a hearer. If you think that you are religious, in verse 26, but you don't bridle your tongue. This is the first point that we want to talk with you about this morning. We have become so loose with our lips that we are sinking salvation ships. Some people are being turned off today because Christians are wagging their tongues about situations that have nothing to do with kingdom building. We are here and right now in the throes of a discussion concerning a red cup and whether or not it says Merry Christmas or it doesn't say Merry Christmas. And we are wasting countless hours and dollars trying to rally the quote-unquote Christian community around and against this red cup. Glory be to God. What does that have to do with what God has commissioned his people to do in the earth? We need to get a hold of our tongue. We need to be slow to speak. We need to pick our battles because a cup has nothing to do with the great commission of God, which is to make disciples of men, to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and then to demonstrate kingdom life. Glory to God. But if you consider yourself religious, as some will, and do not bridle your tongue, you deceive your own heart, and your religion is in vain. Your religion is worthless. Your religion is unproductive and unprofitable for the kingdom of God. God doesn't care one bit about whether or not this company has a red cup and whether or not it says Merry Christmas, because Christmas has nothing to do with drinking coffee. Hallelujah. Neither does it have anything to do with a lot of things that we have already put. You know, some people have the Christmas trees up already. Some people have the lights. Some people already sending out Christmas cards. But that has nothing to do with the truth of Christmas. And the truth is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we want to use our tongue today, let's not waste it talking about a red cup, but let us begin to proclaim the truth that because God loved this world and the people in it, every single one of them, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, hallelujah, so that whosoever would believe on him could have everlasting life, whether they had a red cup or no cup at all. That's just one point that I want to make. If we don't bridle our tongue, then we may be religious, but our religion is in vain. Secondly, pure religion. Now here the Apostle James is going to get to the point of why we should be religious. Glory be to God. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This is what religion is. I want you to get it this morning. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Lord have mercy. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you operating? Are you a doer of the word this morning? When the Apostle James begins to explain what real religion is in relation to our relationship to God the Father, we are to demonstrate him in visiting the fatherless and the widow. Now, what does that word visit mean? Does it mean just to kind of show up at the house and have a sit down and just talk? Amen. No, but that word visit means to be concerned about, to be compassionate about, and to be moved so much to the place of actually doing something. It's not, you remember, James here in this whole chapter is talking about being doers and not just hearers. So to visit the orphans and the widows, it doesn't mean just to stop by and say hi, see how you're doing, but it means to become a doer and actually step into their situation and begin to do something about it. I wish we had more religious people in the Christian community. I wish that we would be concerned about orphans. I wish that we would be concerned about the widows who have no family, no sons or daughters left in the earth. Themselves have become orphans. I wish that we indeed had some form of religion in our Christian community. And it says to visit them in their distress. That distress means tribulation, what they're going through, what their needs are, what their trials are, how they are feeling about being left alone and lonely in this world. In the time of James, the widow woman had it very hard because they didn't have pensions in those days. They didn't have government welfare systems. Praise the Lord. It was the job of the church, the Christian community, to take care of a widow who was a part of the community, unless that person had children or grandchildren, as we'll find later on. We're going to make that point as well. It was the responsibility of the church to care for the widows and the orphans. And so I'm going to just put that out there this morning to those who are in an uproar and offended by a cup and the color thereof, and whether or not there are words, certain words on the cup. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Make your own cup this morning. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I am just tired this morning of all of the distractions that we're allowing to come between us and the work of the ministry that God has given unto us. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Glory to God. To reconcile man unto himself. Not to alienate people over trivial matters. Glory be to God. And the second point James is making about being religious. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to keep oneself unstained by the world. Oh, my goodness, let us get in front of the mirror of the Word of God this morning. And have we become stained by this world? We are to work at it. We are to be intentional about being spotless. Because when Christ comes again, he's coming for a church that's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But this morning, I feel that as we are operating in our flesh and loosing and me being loose with our tongue and being offended in every little issue of the flesh, glory be to God, we are pretty spotted this morning. As a matter of fact, we're looking like lepers today. We're looking like leopards and cheetahs. And so we want you today to hear the word of the Lord. Get it in your spirit that you are not called to determine what color cups go out on the counters of people's businesses and franchises. But if you want to demonstrate or express, that's the word I'm listening for, that if you want to express your religion and your devotion, your devoutness unto God, this Christmas, let it be about moving toward making life better for the widows and the orphans in your community. First, in the Christian community, yes, the house of faith, the household of faith, and then move out into the world. Many times we try to reach out to the world, and we haven't even taken care of our own household. And we're going to see here in a minute, in the book of Timothy, how he speaks to us concerning our own household. Let's rush over there to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I am excited this morning about this topic because, like I said once before, I used to be a person who was glad to tell people that I don't believe in religion and I'm not a religious person. What that particular connotation means, that I'm not embracing ritual acts of just going into a building,
singing a few songs, reading or saying a prayer, listening to a sermon, then coming back out. That is religion, and that is not good enough. Pure and undefiled religion, we just see here by the Apostle James, is that we put our work, our belief into action, and we actually begin to take care of those who are in need, especially within the household of faith, the orphan and the widows. This verse of scripture, or this concept, is witnessed or established by a separate scripture we find here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's see, verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. This is a word to the church, honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, listen to this, nephews, glory to God. I want you to hear the word of the Lord today. If any widow, hallelujah, have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Another translation will say, if they have children or grandchildren, either way, if you have family members, know that in these seasons and in the time of the Bible days, that a man or a male child was given the responsibility of taking care of his parents. And if the parent was a widow woman, of course, then they were doubly required to make provision, like I said, for their parents, because once again, there was no welfare state, there was no government assistance, there was no pension, because widows didn't have jobs. For the most part, their husbands took care of them. Amen to that. And so here, Timothy, the preacher and the pastor, is saying to his church, if you have widows in your community, give honor unto those widows who are really in need. That just doesn't mean to be respectful to them, to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and appreciate them with words. Glory to God. God is not a God of words, but rather a God of deeds. Every one of the words that God releases into the earth, he backs it up with deeds. He's not just out of the side of his mouth. And we as Christians today need to stop talking out of the corners of our mouth and begin to be doers of the work and doers of the deeds that we are called to do. The Apostle John says for us to love not in word only, but in deed. We've got to put our hands to the plow this morning. We've got to put our hands to some works this morning. We've got to activate. We've got to move out. We've got to start a movement in the kingdom of God today. And one of the first things that Jesus preached about and preached to is he released the gospel message unto the poor. This is our first line of defense, offense, mission, strategy. We are to go into the lives of the poor people who are in the body of Christ. Look around your church congregation today, saints of God. How many poor people are sitting in the midst? How many poor people are sitting in our congregations who don't even have enough money for food this week? How many poor people are sitting in our congregation and they prayed on the gas that they had to get to church because somebody said, you need to be in church, and yet we made no provision for them to get there. Now they've got to pray all the way home. My God, we need to be sensitive to the things of the Spirit this month and begin to look out for those who are among us. When Moses was getting ready to die and he was talking to his to the people that he was leading. He was getting ready to die and let them cross over into the promised land. But he declared unto them that the promise of God is that there will be no poor among you. And many people in the world, in the Christian community today, say that we are the spiritual Israel and that we are the seed of Abraham, and therefore we are joint heirs with Jesus and we have heirs to the promise of Abraham and Abraham's seed. Well, one of the promises is that there will be no poor among you. that doesn't mean that there's not going to be people who have less than others, but it means that those who have more than enough are supposed to share with those who don't have their needs met. This is the culture of the kingdom of God. This is the culture of the Christian community. We are always looking for a way and an opportunity to bless somebody outside the church, and we use it as a tool of evangelism. But God wants us to begin to take care of each other. He wants us to begin to meet the needs of those in our midst who have no other person to take care of them. And so we are asking you today, child of God, to get in line with the divine religion that God has instituted in the kingdom, and that is to put to practice being considerate and activate your religion by moving out to make sure that the needs of the poor have been taken care of. Here we are still in Timothy. If a widow, I'm going to read verse 4 again, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. That's the NIV version. The King James Version includes nephews in here. Any male child who is left in the lineage is supposed to take on the responsibility of the widow. Okay, verse 5. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. I want to ask you today, who is it, what is it that God uses to help the widow when she begins to pray and ask God for help? He's not dropping money down out of heaven anymore. There is no tangible manna falling in the wilderness now, but the manna of God is locked up in the bank accounts of Christians throughout the community. This is where the widow and the orphan's needs are supposed to be met, out of the pockets of those who have more than enough. This is, once again, the culture of the kingdom of God. If we are preaching kingdom, then we must demonstrate kingdom. It's not just about the laying on of hands and healing the sick and raising the dead, but we've got to take care of those who are alive and moving in our life today. The widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. And this is a warning to widows not to become lax, not to become promiscuous in order to get their needs met. And some have done so in these times and seasons. But God is not willing that they should come to that particular feeling or thought in their mind to take care of themselves. He has made a way for them to be taken care of in the body of Christ. Now, here's something else. Anyone, verse 8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Oh, my goodness. Read our Bibles. I hope we can read our Bibles. He's saying in verse 7, give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Listen, Church of the Living God, Christian community, hear the word of the Lord this morning. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Open your Bible to James chapter 1 and understand what our mission and commission is in the world today. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The King James says is worse than an infidel. Glory to God. We don't want to be found in that company. Verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows. That means the list of widows that the church is responsible for. If you want to have a list, let it be the list of widows that the body of Christ is responsible for. Now, let no widow be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60 and has been faithful to her husband, is known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. This here even qualifies the widows who are supposed to go on the list. It is time that we stop feeling like we have to run into every corner to do things for people who have rejected God, who have rejected family members, who have been unfaithful to God, unfaithful to the husband, not willing to be hospitable. These women are not to be put on the list. Amen. This until, praise the Lord, until they come into a right relationship with God and are moving and become a part of the family of God. Listen, we have all the instructions that we need. We want to be religious, glory to God, in addition to our relationship with God. It is impossible, I hope you see today, that it is impossible to have a relationship with God and not have religion, not be activated, not be motivated and mobile with your religion. Your relationship in God should cause you to begin to move out and to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Amen. We are excited today about this particular word concerning religion and widows and orphans. Now the Spirit of the Lord is tugging at the hearts of his people, and I pray that you would join with us as we begin to turn our hearts and minds toward widows and orphans. We are going to, with this ministry, begin to set up a fund for widows and orphans, and if you are willing today to be a part of that, then we are asking you to just contact me on Facebook. Let me know how you are feeling this morning. I'm going to be setting up a widows and orphans fund crowd fundraiser, because there are widows on the list in our Christian community who have no children to look after them. And we want to be the kingdom of God. We want to demonstrate the kingdom by stepping in and stepping up for those of us for whom God has given more than enough, that we would share our excess and our extra so that no poor will be among us, but that every person will have their needs met. Amen. And I appreciate you this morning for being with us here on Waves of Glory. I hope that you go back into your word, read the whole chapter 1 of St. James, talking about being doers versus just hearers. Read the whole chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5, as he's given instructions to the body of Christ for which he is a pastor. We love you this morning, and we pray that God will stir your hearts and mind to operate in relationship and pure and undefiled religion. Right now, let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. We thank you for the people of God whose hearts will be touched by this word and who are ready to get together, to come together, to mingle, to Ubuntu, to stand together as one voice and one heart to meet the needs of the widows and orphans in the Christian community, first of the household of faith, and then, Lord, after we have taken care of our own, that excess which we have, that we will go into all the world and make disciples of men. We thank you right now, God, that your word is our guide. It is our plumb line. It is our instruction for righteousness. It shows us, oh God, how to live upright before you, and today we embrace the word of the Lord concerning religion, widows, orphans, bridling our tongue. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Cause us to operate and to be, Lord God, an instrument for the kingdom of God to win souls for Christ. We thank you today, Lord. We bless the people of God everywhere. Let us shake off every distraction. Let us shake off every hindrance today that would keep us from moving in the direction that God would have us to move as we move into this next breakthrough and this next pouring, outpouring of revival among the people of God. Let us be intentional on doing the thing that God has called us to do. Amen and amen. We appreciate you once again. We say hit us up on Facebook at ApostleEla.Melvin, or just look up EJ Melvin, and there I'm going to pop up on your screen. Be sure to like our page, The Embassy of the Kingdom. We are an embassy in the earth, and wherever we are, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Glory be to God. So thank you this morning for tuning in. I pray that as you hear this broadcast, be sure to share it with your friends and your neighbors. Someone else in the body of Christ needs to know that pure religion and undefiled is this in the sight of God and our Father, that we would visit the orphan and the widow. We love you. God bless you. Have a good week.